In 1955, Emmett Till, a 14-year-old black Chicago boy, was brutally murdered while visiting relatives in Mississippi after reportedly whistling at a white woman. Till was abducted, beaten, and shot. He was weighed down with a 75-pound cotton gin fan tied around his neck with barbed wire and dumped into the Tallahatchie River. Professor Till wrote an article contradicting a 50-year-old version of the crime in Look magazine. This eventually led him to the Memory Project.
For 49 years and 11 months, there was not a single sign or plaque or marker or museum anywhere in the state of Mississippi to commemorate the murder of Emmett Till. But finally, starting in early 2006, the Emmett Till Memorial Commission was trying to do the hard work of commemorating the murder. And by this time, it's 2008, they've just put up the first signs. And now my article is beginning to circulate. And then vandalism happens. Their first sign is not in the ground for more than 6 months before it's pulled out of the ground and thrown into the Tallahatchie River, reminding the local black community of what happened to Emmett Till's body. A second sign was spray painted with the letters KKK. Another sign was filled with bullet holes. And so what happened is the Emmett Till Memorial Commission was wondering, what do we do about the vandalism? So they called a conference. They invited myself down there and a couple other academics. They invited the FBI agent in charge of the case from 04 to 06, and they invited members of the Till family. In that summer of 2014, this little conference of people spent 3 days traveling to the various Emmett Till sites and talking about how we could best remember the story. That's when the Emmett Till Memory Project was born. Our idea was to build a small, little, basic smartphone app using GPS technology. We'd take visitors to 5 sites related to the murder and the memory of Emmett Till.
You know, in thinking about the murder itself, I've got to ask you, there was one point that when Emmett Till was taken away, when he was abducted, that there were some other people in the truck, because the question's been asked, how come he didn't just jump out of the truck because he was in back of the truck?
This is such a good story. When Emmett Till was kidnapped, he was put in the back of J.W. Milam's 1955 Chevrolet pickup truck. Many people, including his own mother, have wondered, why didn't Emmett Till run? Okay? There's one way that that question has been answered for nearly 50 years, and it's dead wrong. Here's the wrong answer. People say, well, Emmett Till wasn't scared. Of course he was scared. He was a 14-year-old boy from Chicago, kidnapped in the middle of the night in the Mississippi Delta and beaten and tortured to the extent that parts of his body were falling off. He was terrified. So the question is, why do people still say that Emmett Till was not scared? Why, to this day, is there a museum in the heart of the Mississippi Delta called the Emmett Till Intrepid Center? The Intrepid, a supposed testimony to the fact that Emmett Till was not scared. Here's why people believe that. And it goes back to that William Bradford Huey story in Look magazine. The real reason Emmett Till didn't get out of that truck and run was not because he wasn't scared. The real reason is because he was guarded by two men, Levi Collins and Henry Lee Loggins. But those two men were jailed in a separate county to keep them from testifying during the trial. And so because they hadn't been tried, they still faced legal jeopardy. They would not sign release forms, and so they could not be included in the story William Bradford Huey told. For that reason, Huey had to invent another reason to keep Emmett Till in the truck. So he invented the myth of a not scared Emmett Till. That myth has been so influential that it showed up on the 1987 celebrated Eyes on the Prize series, the way a generation of high schoolers learn their civil rights movement. And to this day, I hear, and it's not uncommon to hear, stories of Emmett Till's bravery. But that bravery was invented by a white journalist to protect two accomplices from the murder who refused to sign a release form and so could not be included in the story of what happened to Emmett Till.
You said, Dave, that the Till murder continues to haunt us. How so?
The Till murder does continue to haunt us. And I've been thinking a lot about what makes the murder of Emmett Till so resonant in today's society. It's talked about way more in the media now than it ever was in the 1970s, 80s, or 90s. Part of it's Black Lives Matter, but I think part of it is also a shift in the racial fault lines in our country. In the 1950s and 60s, during the heart of the civil rights movement, The battle for equality was a legal battle for equality. That battle, in some ways, is over, legally speaking. But the racial fault lines in our country are now cultural fault lines. Just earlier this week, a group of students on the University of North Carolina's campus brought down a Confederate statue. That's a parallel movement to the vandalism of what's going on with the Emmett Till signs right now in the Mississippi Delta. Both are examples of how our culture right now is focused on questions of memory, on the cultural negotiation of race.
Dave, how has the Emmett Till Memory Project changed you?
The Emmett Till Memory Project has consumed my life for the last 5 years. I did not learn about civil rights and become an activist and then learned about Emmett Till. Emmett Till was my entry point into this. What's changed me above all is I'm not any longer just a historian or an academic interested in figuring out what happened in 1955. My real passion, and this is the vision of the Emmett Till Memorial Commission and the Emmett Till Memory Project, my real passion is to use the facts of 1955 to transform our present.
Thank you so much, Dave.
You're welcome.
That's KU Communication Studies Professor Dave Till, who is the founder of the Emmett Till Memory Project. Dr. Till is also the author of the book Remembering Emmett Till, which will be released next spring. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Carla Echols.